Joining me on this edition of Our Town is our chief, and that is Tom Turner, and Brandon Ott is one of the, are you Sergeant, right? Sergeant Ott. There you go. I want to make sure I get that right. You know, you worked for that. You earned that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, because there's this perception, and I don't know if it's reality, and that's kind of why I called you guys in here. There's a perception that we have a severe drug problem in Florence, but I don't know if that's just a perception of some people, or if it's the reality of the situation, or if it's just that it's unusual for a community of this size. What are we looking at as far as, you know, if you have stats or figures or what the current situation is?
Well, one of the things that I would that I want to make sure that I get out there is that there's drug problems in probably every community, everywhere. And it's not that the police or any other regulatory agency isn't doing anything. It's just it's a very prevalent problem in society. So one of the basic tenets of the thing is that often people solve their problems with drug use. And that's been going on for as long as there's been drugs available. By far, Florence's main issue is alcohol. Our alcohol-related issues are by far the biggest problem for the police. I would also say for societal issues in general. And that we continue to try and combat with traffic safety and all the different variations of that. We have a number of DUI arrests. Again, alcohol predominant. And these are the legal drugs. Obviously, we have some underage use. We've been working with that, with trying to create teen programs, that sort of thing, to realize that, you know, underage drinking is very dangerous and the hazards involved in that. And we're kind of a traffic city. So we have access to a couple of pretty major highways that have some very, you know, tragic accidents on a regular basis, often, again, alcohol-infused. So that's our first legal one. Our second legal one is relatively new, is marijuana. And just now, probably in the last year, is when they're starting to track that information a lot better than they used to. It's not that it wasn't present before. It's just that now we're getting more information about it. And there's been a lot of discussion about whether marijuana being legalized is causing more juvenile usage, adult usage. And those are kind of hard to figure out.
Is it because it's more open now? So
more available. Yeah.
It's not necessarily more people are doing it, but they're less likely to hide it.
Right. And one of the things that we've been dealing with is law enforcement here in Florence and, again, everywhere in the country, not only where it's legal, it's just it's a better product. And so this product is purer, and that has a different effect than sometimes the marijuana of, you know, 20 years ago. And that has had its problems. But again, we're just now starting to get a handle on that. Then we've had certainly we have methamphetamines pretty present here. We do have heroin fairly frequently as well. We just recently had, on the 17th of this month, we had the search warrant that the person was arrested for possession of controlled substance, but primarily heroin. He's been a heroin dealer here in town for a long time, and this was a fairly significant bust towards him. And four other people were arrested as well. So that's a huge benefit for us, but it's not the only problem. And then lastly, and then I'll turn it over to Brandon, because it's all kind of a perspective thing as to who's having to work what. This opiate problem is also very significant, not only in Florence, but everywhere in the country. It's because of availability. Often, these are therapeutic drugs, so pain reduction, that are available by prescription. The prescriptions either get stolen or sold. And this is a really prominent factor right now in society, but certainly in the law enforcement, where people are selling these pills. And that's what they're selling. They're not selling street heroin or methamphetamine. They're selling these prescription drugs. They're easier to get. They're easier to conceal. And the effects are way more significant. And opiates are getting a lot of attention now, particularly fentanyl, for the dangers associated with them. And then I'll put my little piece on there, and that is these are chemically, synthetically made chemical products that are inexpensive and very, very toxic. And so it's only going to make their use more prominent. Other places in the country are having some real troubles right now. We have not seen as much of it on the West Coast, but it is certainly coming our way.
Well, I understand, too, that, and maybe we can, maybe this will be talked about in a minute, or maybe we can just hit it now, is that there has been a change in the medical community to stop prescribing opiates on a regular basis. So then you've got people that are no longer able to get them, and I guess I'm guessing, or I'm hearing, that their drug of choice then is to go to heroin.
Right, because that's your natural opiate.
Right,
same high.
Yeah, same deal. Same availability. It's just a little bit different. That's kind of your classic deal. But this newly packaged synthetic prescription piece is way more available right now, and it's more compact and portable. And so a lot of people are choosing that for their drug of choice for abuse.
Well, Brandon, what are your statistics, or what is your knowledge about the drug problems that we're having?
So I've been here since 2004 with the department, and you know, methamphetamine's always been something that we've dealt with and seen. Heroin really wasn't something that I saw for several years after starting. Really, meth and marijuana were the only street drugs that we predominantly came in contact with. Then we start seeing the heroin pop up probably about 5 years ago. It started becoming more common. You're seeing a little bit more and more. And definitely linked up to picking up the high-end opioid narcotic prescription medications off people at the same time. And I remember when I first started encountering that, it was you'd always find spoons with this really bright pink residue around the upper rim of them. And I actually had to talk to, you know, users of that and figure out what that was. That's the binder in those pills that they separate out because they only want the actual opiate drug from that. So we start seeing that more and more. And I mean, it became a pretty popular thing. The thing to remember is that pills are, they don't have a stigma attached to them like heroin. When you think of a stereotypical drug addict in a dark alley somewhere, you know, the poster child of drug use
all over them.
Sure. Yeah. It's the person laying there with the needle in their arm and the stereotypical heroin addict. The pills provide that same level of effect, but they're way more socially acceptable. You just take some pills, or even if they're a little more advanced to where they're crushing up these pills and injecting them for a better effect, they're still more socially acceptable.
Right. So it's just a pill. You know, that's their mentality, I guess.
I think even most drug users consider, you know, IV injection of heroin about rock bottom in the drug use community. Mm-hmm. So the pills were a little bit, I don't know if I would say easier to get, but certainly less
more readily available.
Of a stigma attached to them, sure. And as you can imagine, we have a really big aged population here in Florence, and sometimes those individuals have legitimate medical problems that provide them with access to these drugs. I know when I was in patrol a few years ago, I would get information off informants that, you know, this person, an elderly individual, is selling their medication to supplement their income. I'm not saying that that's an epidemic by any means, but it was a thing. Sure. And you're looking at pills where a single pill will bring $25 to $40, depending on the strength of them. So, and it was really kind of eye-opener for me when it started rolling around. I mean, I always thought of, you know, even as a police officer, I thought morphine was that thing that came in a bag when you were in the hospital, and it didn't happen anywhere else. And then I start seeing legitimately prescribed bottles of the stuff, like people were just getting morphine in bottles to have at home. It was really foreign to me. So
I see why the medical community, you know, decided to maybe clap down on that a little bit. What are some of the difficulties in policing this, though? Obviously, you know, you guys are a certain man force. It's not like you have a huge force to go after this on a regular basis, but what are some of the things that you guys can do or are doing to find the problems and to, you know, make arrests?
Well, one of the things that we're working on, we're working with the community on safeguarding your narcotics. So if you've got a prescription drug, you need to safeguard that. You need to keep it in a locked container, or realize that that's something that's of value. Treat it like you might treat cash or
your jewelry.
Some other expensive item. That's a prominent feature. And a lot of people just don't. They leave it out. They leave it available. They have it in their purse. They have it accessible in their office, kind of thing. And they need to think about that, because that's a coveted item potentially. The other part is that we've been trying to really advertise and work with DEA on disposal. So we often have people that pass away. They're bringing in, their relatives are bringing in their former prescriptions to get rid of them. And we're trying to provide available disposal for that, rather than just throwing it in the garbage can or, you know, giving it away or whatever they might think.
Right, because they see that pill, then if they're not up and up, they go, oh, here's some money.
Yeah, here's some money, maybe. Yeah. Or, you know, just basically to be prudent about it. Here's what we're going to do with it. The hospital's in the process of doing the same thing, where they're going to have a disposal site available, hopefully in the near future as well, because we have a fairly, you know, prominent use of medications, and we need to make sure that we have a proper way to dispose of them. Again, that isn't just Florence. That's everywhere.
Nationwide.
One of the things we're dealing with in a lot of teens is the variations of a pill party type deal, where these medications are stolen from their parents and then utilized in a party setting, or any setting for that matter, because, again, parents don't control it. They don't think about that their kids might be taking it. And that's been really difficult. So that's something we have to stay on top of. So the other thing that we have is we have problems just on the outskirts of our jurisdiction. Again, they're trying to police it as best they can, those agencies can, but it winds up being fairly prominent.
Again, if it's a county thing, you've got one or two maybe county sheriffs that are around. There's not a whole lot of support there.
Right, so it's a matter of getting the resources together and do that. The other part that I do want to put out here, and it came from one of our other supervisors that mentioned it, is we don't have a lot of drug rehabilitation resources or resources in general right here in town. the person usually has to go to another city to get those resources or get that availability. And that treatment center and treatment issues are, you know, that's a big part of this. Because again,
you can take the drug away.
Yeah, not that it, yeah, not that it isn't, not that there isn't criminal issues, but there's issues, and that's what they're going to is some sort of availability of a medication to try and deal with the issues they're trying to deal with. And so it's got kind of a systemic piece that makes it really difficult to deal with as a society. Law enforcement is just an element of that. We're usually at the end of the difficulty. Oftentimes people have very pronounced problems that never come under law enforcement's attention. It's the ones that get out of hand that often come to law enforcement attention.
I guess the, what I'm still trying to wrap my head around is the difference between the perception and the reality. I'm sitting at dinner one night having a conversation with somebody, and they sit there and say, oh, yeah, we have a real big drug problem here in Florence. And, you know, I guess it depends on what, you know, what street, what neighborhood you live on, whether you feel that that's accurate or not. You know, I certainly meet with high school students all the time. I meet with people in the community all the time. I don't see, and you think, you know, well, one out of every so many, you'd see that. And I don't really see that. So is it more of a perception problem than a reality problem? I'm not saying there's not a problem. I'm not saying there's not an issue. But is it maybe that people's perception is it's bigger than it is?
I would certainly lean towards that. Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that our drug arrest numbers are up any higher than they have been in the last many years. Yeah. I mean, the categories may be a little bit different, but too, you have to look at least at the state level in Oregon trends of decriminalization and or reduction, you know, of classification of drug possession offenses from felonies to misdemeanors. A user level quantity of methamphetamine now on a first offense, if you don't have a prior conviction, is a misdemeanor. It's not a felony anymore. And so it's taken a little bit of the shock value out of it, and I think some of the deterrence. And while I'm not against giving people a second chance, you know, and maybe doing something different with first offenders, it's tough because there's less deterrent in terms of that felony conviction.
And again, also like Chief was saying, not the resources. Because, right, you know, if someone has that amount, but still there might be a problem associated with that. So just, you know, telling them, well, it's a misdemeanor this time, without having any kind of alternative to say, hey, look, we need to put you over here and let you talk to these people, even just have a conversation.
One of the things that I keep an eye on is the trends and the statistical information in different cities. And you can kind of compare our city comparatively, use that as a comparison. And for instance, our overdoses are not really any different than they have been for years. Not that that's the only trend, but that's something you need to watch. If you have a number of overdoses that are starting to happen, and including overdose deaths, that's, you know, then you've got kind of an indicator that you've got some issues going on. We handle regular complaints about drug, you know, suspected drug activity, and we encourage people to call in and make those complaints, because that is what eventually will stop, you know, that particular trend or problem going on in whatever neighborhood that is. But there is an unfortunate piece that is common, but from the cities that I have regular contact with, our issue is no different and perhaps even less than some other cities are suffering.
I think particularly with the opiate overdoses, we're nowhere near what a lot of the more metropolitan areas are seeing. I mean, if you follow mainstream news, you'll see where, you know, in a metropolitan city, they'll have hundreds of overdoses in a single weekend. And it's to the point where a lot of agencies in those cities, police agencies, are equipping their officers with intervention drugs to try and reverse the effects of those. We're not at that point where we're seeing that level of opiate overdose.
So, but basically, I guess to tell the public is to be vigilant when you see stuff like this happening and, you know, let somebody know, right?
Well, absolutely. And not to, and never to make that assumption, well, nothing will get done about it. Because I hear that complaint frequently where people will say, oh, I've seen this or that or whatever their issue might be. And they don't even call in because they think, well, the police will never do anything about it. That simply isn't true. You need to call in and report the information, because often some of the biggest problems haven't even been reported.
If you don't call in, then definitely not.
Yeah, we have no possibility. And, you know, we have a limited number of officers, as we've spoken about before. But we respond to calls and we respond to issues as they become prominent. And so call in with your information. And so we'll deal with it as best we can.
And we get those that information from the public regularly. Sometimes it comes through the chief, sometimes it comes directly to the sergeants. But I know collectively the sergeants put this information out to the patrol officers very regularly, just for targeted, you know, hotspot presence, if you will, so that we're spending more time in these areas to try and help with the livability aspects of those neighborhoods. It's just really important to remember that these kind of cases can burn up hundreds of man hours really quickly and take months to put together a case on a drug dealer operation. We don't have those resources necessarily to devote. I mean, these are like this search warrant that we did last month, for example, or just earlier this month. That's a regular patrol officer that still has all of his normal patrol duties and then found some spare time in his busy schedule to do this extra task. We don't have the hundreds of hours laying around to devote people to. And even at the county level and the state police in Lane County have unfortunately had to disband their team that used to be specifically focused to that. So we're kind of going to go it alone at this point, and it's tough to find those resources a lot of times.
Well, I sure do appreciate you gentlemen being here today to talk about this. I mean, it's a good start of a conversation. And obviously, you know, the public needs to be on their toes and keep an eye out. And, you know, also if someone's out there that's struggling with a problem like this, is to find a way to get some help.
Well, and one of the things that's a just recent activity that we've been participating in is the new school resource officer, to get them into the schools and get into some of these issues that we know are out there. Brandon is the one that's assigned to the school right now as we're going through this. And we see a lot of drug use, alcohol use, you know, prevalent in different family problems and student issues that are going on. And it's great to be able to start getting ahead of that, perhaps, where we can get into some treatment, some of the resources before it becomes, you know, a law enforcement problem. And again, I have to keep, I can't make it clear enough. This is everywhere. This isn't just here. And that's something people have to keep into perspective, that, you know, there's no enclave going on here. It's just a matter of, this problem is prevalent in every society, and almost every city in the U.S. I would say is struggling with some issue or another similar to this.
Sergeant Brandon Ott and Chief Turner, thank you so much for being here.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Our Town on Coast Radio KCSD. Coming up next, the Winter Music Festival.